Come on, somebody give God some praise if you're free in this place. Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We're ready for your word. Father, I pray that as your word goes forth, you would anoint it from on high. Allow my preaching today, God, to be an act of worship offered to you to help people grow in you, to give you glory, that we would help people grow to become more like you. We thank you and we ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Greatness is something that people who have a standard of excellence ascribe to. It doesn't matter what field they're in. They can be a cook. They can be a business person in sports, in entertainment. There's a level of greatness that anyone and everyone hopes to achieve. But one of the challenges we have, especially in the body of Christ, is we take those standards of greatness and then try to overlay them from the world onto the church. One of the shows that, I'll be honest with you, I don't watch, don't like it, is the show Sunday's Best. Because I don't believe you can measure the anointing of God and how God can use a person by how they sing in a canned environment. And then on top of that, some of the judges feel like they just have to be rude and mean. Like, aren't we supposed to be Christian? That's just my own little personal pet peeve. What is it about greatness that God desires from you? See, I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that God wants each of us to be great, but not in the way that the world wants you to be great. God's greatness is rooted in obedience, it's rooted in faith, and it's rooted in a willingness to follow his voice. The main character in our text today wasn't trying to be famous. He wasn't chasing a platform. He wasn't running after God. As a matter of fact, the text suggests that he was approached and found by God. But he was a character, he was a person who was trying to follow God. And in following God, listen carefully, he did not become great of his own accord, but God made him great. Today, the question is not whether you want to be great in the eyes of people. The question is, how many of you want to be great in the eyes of God? Because greatness is available to each of you under the sound of my voice. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to become great for God. I want to challenge you to be the greatest you can be to the glory of God. Not great in comparison to others, but great because when you look at yourself, you are maximizing every possibility and potential within you to live in a way that brings glory to God and helps others to know him to do the same. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand. For those of you who are watching, those of you who are following along, you can download a outline at our website, goodhope.org, or you can go to our app and find a fill-in-the-blank outline there. The main character of our text today is a fellow by the name of Abram. Abram is his precursor name before he was sovereignly blessed by God, and his name was changed to Abraham. But I want to talk to him today using his mama's given name, Abram. I want to use his government name, Abram, because I believe there's a lot of Abrams in here, listen carefully, who have Abraham in you, but it hasn't come out of you yet. You are at that place where God is saying, now you have to make a choice to embrace the possible greatness that is in front of you. Now, how did Abram get to our text today in Genesis chapter 12? Well, in Genesis chapter 11, beginning at verse 27, look at what the text says. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father Terah was still living. What's significant about verse 28 is this is the first recorded incident when a son dies naturally before his father does. So order has been reversed here. This is the first time a father buries a son who dies of natural causes not related to war or punishment from God. And the Bible says, when you look at verse 29, meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah and her sister Iscah were daughters of Nahor's brother Haran. But Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. Now, here's what's interesting. Terah has to deal with the death of his son. And in verse 31, the text says, one day Terah took his son, Abram, his daughter-in-law, Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, the New Living Translation says, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died while still in Haran. We don't know why Terah left Ur of the Chaldeans. Many might think maybe he left Ur because of the memory of his deceased son. He decides that he's going to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and make his way to Canaan. But something happens along the way. He comes to a place by the name of Haran. And look at what the text says. They stopped at Haran and settled there. We don't know why he stopped at Haran. Maybe he stopped at Haran because the sorrow of losing his son was raised in his spirit when he gets to a town that bore the name of his dead son. All we know is that he gets to Haran on his way to Canaan, and the text says he settled there. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park right there. Because there's somebody that's listening today, listen to me carefully. You were on your way someplace else. But before you got there, you found yourself comfortable somewhere else and you settled far away from where God wanted you to be. Somebody, you settled emotionally. Somebody, you settled physically. Somebody, you settled spiritually. Somebody, you settled mentally. Wherever you are, physical settlement, you settled where you are. And God says, I've got so much more for you. But if you stop where you are, you can't get where I want you to be. My brothers and my sisters, each one of you in here has greatness within you. And God says, if you settle, you can't experience the success that I want you to have. And I haven't even gotten to my sermon yet. There's a danger in prematurely settling anywhere. And watch this. The text says, Terah settled there in Haran. Verse 32 says, he lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. The only thing worse than settling on your way somewhere is dying at the place you settle. And so God says, Terah stopped. But Abram, I've got a call on your life. Abram, you have to make a decision. You have to decide what you're going to do moving forward in your life. God gave Abram an opportunity to be great. Abram didn't start with a big name, but he started his journey with a big yes. And my brothers and sisters, there's somebody in here right now. The only thing standing between you and God using you in a great way is your yes, as opposed to your no. All of you have the opportunity to say yes. But God says greatness in me is tied to you saying yes to me. Let me give you a definition of greatness. Pull out your outlines because I want you to write this down. A definition for becoming great for God. Here it is. Discovering God's purpose for your life, developing yourself for that purpose, and deploying yourself in that purpose. If you want to become great for God, discover God's purpose for your life. What does God want you to do? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's more than just come to church on Sunday. It's more than just memorizing scripture. God has more for you than just wearing a big bulletproof-sized cross around your neck or carrying a big coffee table-sized Bible. Discover God's purpose for your life. Develop yourself for that purpose. How do you become stronger? How do you become better? How do you become wiser? How do you become what God wants you to be? Develop yourself for that purpose and then deploy yourself in that purpose. Set yourself free to do what God has called you to do. Now, let me just throw this in as a side note. Anything that keeps you from discovering, developing, and deploying to live out God's purpose for your life is a distraction from the devil. Now, before you go and say, the pastor said this morning, you the devil. You do know the devil can use anybody who makes themselves available to be used. Even God's servant can be used by the devil. That's what Jesus said when he told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me," because at that moment, the same Peter who would be used later to preach to see 3,000 people come at the first invitation of the newly existing church, that same Peter was used by the devil to try to keep Jesus from going to the cross. So you want to make sure that you don't allow anything or anybody to keep you from walking in that purpose. I'm not going to get through the whole message today, so y'all can relax. Let's go to number one. Some of y'all looking like, wait a minute, hold on, he ain't that number one yet. We're going to be here all day. Pull out some of them snacks, girl. All right. Here's the first thing. Number one, you can become great for God when you hear when God speaks to you. You can become great for God when you hear when God speaks to you. Verse 1, the A part, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram. The Lord said to Abram. The Lord. In your English translation, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Whenever you see all four of those letters capitalized in the English translation, it refers to the tetragrammaton, the YHWH, the Yahweh, the unspeakable name of God, the name that identifies the God who is before anything else was. And when you see this phrase used, the Lord said to Abram, this conversation was not initiated by Abram. The text suggests that the conversation was initiated by God. Amen. The Lord talks to Abram with intention and focus, and his desire is to get Abram to move from where he is to where God wants him to be so he can use him in a great way. People think they are experts in knowing whether or not someone else has heard from God. Come on, you've heard people say, see, God told me, and you'd be like, hey, God ain't said nothing like that. You know God ain't talked to that fool. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to become an expert, not in discerning whether or not God has talked to somebody else. Figure out if you can figure out if God is talking to you. Are you hearing what God is trying to say and what God is trying to speak in your life? How many times have you said, man, I should have followed my first mind? And typically we say that on the other side of a missed opportunity. You've got to learn how to identify when God is talking to you. Now, somebody may say, how do you know God is talking to you? Well, one of the things that I've learned is the more you talk to God, the more likely you are to hear God when he talks to you. It's kind of hard to identify his voice when you don't spend any time with God. And it's kind of hard to identify what God is saying to you when you talk to God and you do all the talking and none of the listening. You know, one of the things I always find fascinating is when I sit in a group of people and I'm always observing how people talk but don't listen to each other. Literally, people are sitting there, they waiting for a person to finish the sentence or try to catch a breath, and then they jump in and they're going to up-talk them to the next level, and then when they get through and they stop to breathe, then the other person jumps in and they start talking. You ever seen that happen? You may have been one of those people I've been watching, right? And we do that with God. Instead of saying, God, what are you saying to me? How does God speak to us? Let me just give you some ways. First of all, God will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying it's going to be an audible voice. It might be a still small voice. It might be just a leading of the Spirit where you have peace. But you've got to learn how to hear when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Maybe God will speak to you through the Bible. Right? It's amazing how many times you read God's word and you hear from God. Maybe it's in prayer where you are praying and you're talking and now you stop and listen and ask the Lord to speak to you. Maybe it's through circumstances that you're going through and you hear God. Maybe it's through a song that you hear God. Maybe it's godly people in your life. Sometimes God will speak to you through a sermon. You walk up in here on Sunday and you be like, okay, God, I got the message. God, dog, you didn't need to let Pastor just beat me up like this on this morning like I'm doing today. Somebody in here, God says, no, I need you to hear from me. Here's two things, though, I do need to know. I need you to know whenever there's a question whether or not it was God. First of all, God is never going to say anything to you that's in conflict with his word. So while the specificity of the conversation may be of such that you believe God is leading you to do something very, very specific and intentional, know that whatever it is not going to be contrary to his word. So when somebody says, oh, God told me to kill 100 people, no, that wasn't God. That was the devil all day. That wasn't God at all, because God's not going to tell you to do something that's contrary to his word. Here's the second thing that I've learned. If you believe this is what God has told you, never seek a second opinion to validate God when God's given you the first opinion. Here's what I've learned in my own life. God, when he makes a personal announcement, doesn't add to it a public proclamation for everybody else to know what he told you privately. So there are times when God is going to tell you something. Listen, you don't need to go to somebody else and talk about, man, what you think about this. Because what they think doesn't matter if that's what God told you. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Two times Samuel comes to Eli as a little boy and says, did you call me? I heard you called me. Eli said, no. Eli tells him to go back. Watch what happens this third time. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose, went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, verse 10, calling out, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel says, speak, for your servant hears. Abram heard God. There's nothing in the text suggesting that going was Abram's idea. He heard God. Listen, greatness in Abram could not come out until he first heard God. And greatness in you will not come out until you first hear God. Now, can I tell you the problem? Which is going to lead to the second point. Many of you have heard God, you just ignored God. You've come up with all kinds of excuses and all kinds of reasons. Lord, you sure? Hey, Lord, if you knew what I, well, yeah, you do know what I did, but I you sure? Can you come back again? Can you confirm that? Lord, do you know what people are going to think? You know what people are going to say? And the Lord says, yes. That's why I'm choosing you, because you are so improbable to be used by me that I can't help but get the glory when I do what I do through your life. Here's the second thing. Number two, you can become great for God when you do what God tells you to do. So you don't stop at hearing God, and this is where some of you have settled in your own Haran. You heard God, but you haven't moved and started doing. Abram is in Haran. Listen to what God says. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. The New Living Translation says, and the Lord said, leave your native country, your relatives, and your family, and go to a land that I will show you. God challenges Abram at what is arguably the toughest place for us to get challenged. Watch this. You want what God has for you, but you're not willing to leave what you already have. Your comfort, your familiarity with where you are. Because here's your thought. The Bible says a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. It's not in the Bible, y'all. Some of y'all are like, what book is that? I ain't never read that. No, that's like most stuff folk put in the Bible because it sounds good. God says you're not willing to let go of what you have because you don't have faith and believe that I can bless you with more than you already have in your hand. He says, I want you to leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family and go to a land I will show you. You haven't even seen it yet. I will show it to you, but you've got to go before I'll show. Most of us want God to show, and then we might go. Because when God shows, then we want to start evaluating. Well, I don't know. What's the pros, the cons? What's the ROI? What's the cost value analysis? You know, what's the benefit of it? I'm not sure. You know, if I stay where I am versus going where I am. God says, no, I need you to go. But I only show after you go. See, many times God wants to reposition you to better prepare you so you can receive what he is preparing for you. And because Abram had a choice to let go, he had to decide to let go and get, but he couldn't let go and get until he left. He had to leave. He had to leave. Listen, if you're trying to hold on to what God is taking away, you won't be able to grab a hold of what God is trying to give. Amen. Let me say it again for somebody. If you're trying to hold on to what God is taking away, you won't be able to grab hold of what God is trying to give to you. Amen. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park here for somebody, because the Holy Ghost just bothered me about somebody in here listening right now. They left. And you crying over them leaving when God says you should be celebrating what I'm bringing. You say, I can't celebrate what he's bringing because I don't know what he's bringing until he's brought it. And God says that's where faith comes in. Celebrate who walked out knowing that I got something better walking in. I wish I had a witness in this place somewhere. See, God says, when are you going to trust me? When are you going to trust me? You've been walking around saying, well, something bad is better than nothing. No, something bad is not better than nothing, especially when your nothing is going to lead to God's something. I've driven all around the country, all over the world. You know, one of the things I've never seen? I've never seen a car pull into a parking space that was already occupied. Some of y'all gonna get that on the way home. A hoopty in a parking space will keep a Rolls Royce out every time. Says, Abram, leave your native country. Leave the place where you are. Leave your relatives and family. Leave the people that you're attached to and go make progress so you can discover the promise that I have placed in front of you. But you will never go and get if you don't leave. Because everybody that's with you is not intended to go with you the whole journey. So what are you going to do? See, you can't get to your destination if you won't leave your situation. You can't claim the promise if you stay in what's comfortable. You cannot get to where God wants you to be or do what God wants you to do if you're not willing to leave a place, people, and make progress so you can claim God's promise for your life. And he says, and go to a land I will show you. Somebody in here, you're here. And I hear God saying to you, as long as you hold on to what you have, there's no room in your hands for what God wants to give you. And somebody under the sound of my voice, you don't like you enough to be by yourself with you. I'm talking to somebody today. You don't like you enough to be by yourself. You should be the best company you can have. And if you keep somebody bad around to keep from being with yourself, because deep down you don't like you, then God says you can never get to where I want you to be. Watch what the text says. Verse 4, Genesis 12. Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. He said, you got to be willing to leave. Now, some folk can go with you, but there's some folk who are going to stay where they are. And look at what the text says, verse 4. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram didn't let his age keep him from obeying. He took Sarai and Lot, his nephew, who wanted to go, left those who wanted to stay, and headed in the direction God led him to go. He went in an unknown way to an unknown place, to an unnamed land, because he was following the God he knew and the God who knew him, and he knew the God who knew him would never leave him. So here's my question to you today. Where have you been unwilling to leave? Where have you been unwilling to move away from in order to get closer to God and where he wants you to be? What have you been unwilling to leave behind or move away from? Because you've been more comfortable with a known familiar than an unknown possibility. Who have you been unwilling to leave behind or move away from in order to get closer to God and where he wants you to be? The place you need to leave may be mental, it may be physical, it may be emotional. Here's what I need you to know. Abraham can't get out of you until Abram decides to move. There's a birthing. I'm going to talk about this next week. There's a birthing of Abraham that comes out of Abram because of his obedience. But that birthing can't take place as long as Abram stays where he is. There's some attitudes that need to change. There's some places that need to change. There's some people that need to change. Lord, have mercy. And watch this. Yeah, God is talking to you. Yes, God is talking up in the balcony. God is talking to you. Now, downstairs, God is talking to you because watch this. There's already been a discontentment in your status quo that's already been created. And God says, I just want you to know that that discontentment has come from me. And the Holy Ghost is saying, what are you prepared to do? What are you prepared to do? Are you going to settle in Haran and die in Haran? Or are you going to get up and move towards where God wants you to be? And don't surround yourself with a bunch of settlers and then ask them what they think, because they've already decided not to go any further. And God says, I've got more for you. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. Let's read it together. Verse 17. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Matthew 6:33, let's read it together. You sounded so good. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let me just close by telling you this. It's a lot easier to leave what you have and follow God when you don't have anything. Problem is, there are some of you who are like the rich young ruler. You remember Jesus said to him, I need you to leave everything and follow me. And Jesus gave him some things that he needed to do, and then the rich young ruler said, oh, I've done all those things. And he said, well, one more thing. I want you to take everything you have and give it to the poor. And the Bible says The rich young ruler dropped his head and walked away sad. Listen, because he was too rich for his own God. He was too rich for his own God. I'm here to tell somebody, God says you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you. And you say, God, I've got so much. Watch this. God says, how did you get where you are? You left it all to follow me to get where you are. So why wouldn't you trust me? I'm the one who brought you where you are. Why wouldn't you trust me to take you where you want to go? You say, I got a lot to lose. God said, I've blessed you a lot. That's how you got it. And now you don't want to risk and trust me, and I'm the one who blessed you to have what you have? Somebody today, you're here. And God says, don't stay here. Don't settle in Haran when I've got Canaan waiting on you. I just need to know if you'll trust me with what you have. Oh, you used to tithe when it was a dime out of a dollar. Oh, yeah. You watch this. You used to put the offering in the plate when your mama gave you candy money. And gave you money to put in church, but you won't put money in the church now, and God gave it to you. Right? Dime out of a dollar, that's a principle. 10,000 out of 100,000, that's too much. Wait a minute, whoa, what you talking about? Same principle. God says, will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust the God who's brought you where you are to trust him to take you where you need to go? Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I pray now that your word has touched somebody. Matter of fact, I know, God, you've spoken to somebody today who's been praying about what you want them to do, and they're wrestling with a decision. And God, you have sent this word as an answer to them, as corroboration for what you have been leading them to do. And there's been some fear and trepidation. They've made ephemeral steps, but they haven't made exhaustive long-term commitment. They've been sometimey, but they haven't made that life commitment to say yes to you. And so God, I pray now in the name of Jesus that you would give them the courage to trust you, just like Abram said yes to you, regardless of age, regardless of relationships, regardless of place, he said yes. And I pray for somebody today to do the same. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Cam is going to come now and give an invitation. And somebody who's here, I want to encourage you to make that step. I'm a witness that you can never beat God-giving. Amen. You can't do it. And when you trust God, even when it doesn't make sense to other people, your faithfulness will reveal his faithfulness to somebody else. Amen. Pastor Camp's going to come now and give the invitation to discipleship. Amen. How many of y'all been praying for Pastor Cam? You know, his brother was tragically murdered. And we've been praying for him. And he went home and did the funeral. And so we're going to continue to lift him in prayer. Amen. That God will keep him and continue to love on him and encourage him through this this challenging time.